Maaseret of Pesach. So he said, what's the problem in the Gemara? It's one line. It's one line, but there's so much of an Arichas and Rishonim and Achronim. There's a lot to be makbed about. So we left off in the middle of, in this Marmekaimus, it's Perek Dalek, Kololei Tzuras HaPesach, who wrote to Leda Ches, Heket Tzir. When you have, it's understood, if you have a building and you have a door, when the door is open, it's still considered a Rishus Sayach. You don't say, since the door is open, it's not a Rishus Sayach, because you have a door attached, and you have hinges holding on the door. So the Halacha Moshe Messina apparently says, even if you don't have the door attached, even if you just have hinges, what if you only have the frame of the door, you don't even have the hinges, Eked Tzir and the hinges? So that's a machlokes in Erev and Daf Yud Aleph and Beis, machlokes Amoraim. Do you need Eked Tzir, or do you say it's enough with the economy, kamikam, so in Shulchan Aruch they paskin that you don't need Eked Tzir. The Mishkan HaSeinkiv raises an issue. If you look in the Rosh quotes that the Rov HaRishonim paskin that you do need Eked Tzir. So he thinks that we shouldn't follow the psak of the Shulchan Aruch. We should insist on Eked Tzir. And that by writing such a tshuva, he just did away with every issue in the world. Nobody has hinges on the poles. You just have two poles in the string on top. You don't have hinges. We spoke about the Kona. The Gemara said the Kona Mikan. The Kona Mikan has to be Bria Kadei Lekabel Del Shalkash. Has to be sturdy enough to hold a door. These doors happen to be made from metal, so these Kona Mikan, the two mezuzahs on either side are extremely sturdy. So the Gemara says it doesn't have to be so sturdy to hold a metal door. If it's sturdy enough to hold a wooden door, Bria Kadei Lekabel Del Shalkash, a wooden door, and then Shulchan Aruch says a door that would be used Bosa Medina. And maybe in Japan they have paper doors, but in this part of the world we don't have paper doors. We have cardboard doors, accordion doors, cardboard doors. That's as long as it's Bria Kadei Lekabel, some kind of a Del Shalkash. So the question is, what about Tekona Al Gabeim? Does Tekona Al Gabeim here, Tekona Al Gabeim is very sturdy. It holds on to that contraption that the door shouldn't slam, that the door should close softly. So does Tekona Al Gabeim have to be Bria Kadei Lekabel? Such a contraption of Bia Kadei Lekabel to bolt in years ago in the days of the Gemara, the Rishayim, they would bolt in the door into the ground on the bottom, then they would bolt it into the Kon Al Gabeim. So all the Rishayim quote, the Rosh quotes are Yerushalmi, the Bavli doesn't discuss whether the Kon Al Gabeim has to be Bria. They quote Yerushalmi, even if it's a chut, even if it's a string, it's good. In other words, basically, you only need the Kon Mikan, Mikan. And the Kon Al Gabeim is a chumer midrabbanan. If it would really be Mikar Adin, it would also have to be Bria Kadei Lekabel, the bolt. And the Meiri has a different girsa in that Yerushalmi. So the whole mocker of the Kula is based on Yerushalmi, that the Meiri has a different girsa. The addition of the two Meiris on Erev, and there's a Chidush Meiri and the Beis HaBechira. So the addition of the Beis HaBechira that everybody uses today was put out by Reb Simcha Zisel Brody, who was a Rosh Yeshiva in Hebron for many years. He passed away already. There was a period of time that his enemies wrote that he came to America for medical treatment. So his enemies wrote up in a newspaper that he's going to be appointed to be Rosh Yeshiva in YU instead of Rabbi Soloveitchik. They wanted to be mevazeh him. So Rabbi Chalap was so furious. What do you mean? Dr. Lem didn't consult me. How could he do that? So he called up Dr. Lamb and he said, did you ever hear of Simcha Zisel Brody? The name sounds a little familiar. Does remember, who was it? Who was it again? So he realized that it was a fake, that the newspaper article was not true. Anyway, so he put out the edition that Mossad Rav Kook put out. He did all the work on the footnote. That's why three volumes. It has a lot of footnotes on the bottom. So he raises the question, should we still pasken like the Shulchan Aruch today? Now that you have the Miri, had a different girsa in the Yerushalmi, that the Kon Al Gabeim has to be Bria in order to bolt in the door. Everybody's still makel to use a string, but Reb Simcha Zisel raised the issue. Maybe we should no longer be makel. Tzuras Kippa, what if you have Kon Mikan, Kon Al Gabeim is an arch. So the Gemara said the Feirish in Erev and Daf Yud Aleph from the base, it's no good. The Gemara says, Kon Al Gabeim is no good if it's an archway. The Gemara there is talking about Chiyuv Mezuzah. Roni Chayiv and Mezuzah, you have Kon Al Gabeim, Kon Al Gabeim, Kon Al Gabeim. And the Gemara says, if you have an archway, that the arch on top would not be considered a kohen rabbein, but usually the building continues to go higher. So you're going to have a kohen that's going to go straight, al gabei. So the Gemara proves, since we are mitzaref the kohen that goes horizontally, with the kohen mikam, kohen mikam, which didn't go all the way up, so it's a proof that in tzrichim liga. The Gemara raised the question, do the kohen mikam, kohen mikam have to touch the kohen rabbein, or is it acceptable as long as it's directly below it? More proves that it's good even though it's not touching, and the fact that a kippah is chayv and mezuzah because you mitzaref the horizontal bar that's on top. Sometimes there is no horizontal bar. Sometimes, let's say, you have a fence around a yard, and then you have the frame of a door, you just have a kohen gadol, a kippah, and it doesn't have anything on top. So the Gemara said, the famous, that doesn't count. So it's why not? That's not considered the normal way to make a tzuras on Pesach. It's not kiddiyav the inchi. So that's why the Mishkan is Yankiv has a tshuva. We're up to Yud, Perek Dalet, section Yud. Mishkan is Yankiv has a tshuva that very often what you have is you have an Erev around the city, and then you have a wire. So the Erev is so far apart, the two poles are so far apart from each other, so the string is going to sag. So the Mishkan is Yankiv says a sagging string is no good. How does he know? So he has around four or five different reasons. The Mishnah Berurah and the Shaar HaTzion quote some of the reasons. It doesn't quote all of them. One of the reasons is that it's not Yechol Lamed Beruch Mitzuyah, because when the wind is going to blow, it's going to be waving back and forth in the wind. If the string is tight, then it's not going to wave in the wind. Another reason he says, look, if a kippah is no good, if it's the shape of, what do you call that, the semicircle, An arch shape is not acceptable, so sagging is the same as an arch, but it's just the other direction. You see from the Gemara that it has to be straight. Then he has another reason, it's not called al-gabeim. It has to be kana al-gabeim. So if it's straight, so it's al-gabeim. If it's sagging, so the kana al-gabeim is lower down than the top of the two things. It has a whole bunch of reasons. Rav Soloveitchik said that as a young boy, he was brought up by his other grandfather. He hardly saw Rav Chaim. I think the last 2 years of Rav Chaim's life, they were together every day. They were learning together every day. But when he was before Bar Mitzvah, he hardly saw Rav Chaim. And a few occasions that he would visit in Brisk, so he was a little boy. The excitement was, what is it do for, exciting for a young boy? So he says on Friday he would go to Reb Simcha Zelig, who was the dayan in Brisk, to tighten the string on top. Simcha Zelig learned the Valojin, and the Mishkan is Yankov learned the Valojin earlier, way before. Mishkan is Yankov, one of the early Talmidim of Valojin, from the early years when Reb Chaim Valojin was alive, and Reb Simcha Zelig was there in the later years of Valojin. But because the Mishkan is Yankov had learned by Reb Chaim Valojin, so that's why they were all choshish for his opinion, that a sagging Erev is no good. So as a little child, he would go to Reb Simcha Zelig, and the excitement was that they would tighten the string every week to make sure that it's not sagging. There is a discussion in the Chazon Ish, Yud Aleph, what if the Kohen Bikan is not straight? What if it's leaning, tilting to the side? Is that acceptable or not? So this Chazon Ish is not sure. Maybe it is, maybe it's not. Maybe it's not good. Not too sure. And if it tilts, how much can it tilt? What, to what extent do you say it's okay? Yud Beis is a more common shaila. You have kohen bikam and kohen bikam, they're not the same height. So the kohen agabeim is going to be crooked. So what's the din if the kohen agabeim is crooked? So the Prima Gordon proves from a Magan Avram. Magan Avram quotes a tshuva from Rabbi Elia Mizrahi that one pole is much higher than the other. So Rabbi Elia Mizrahi says that it's good. So if one pole is higher than the other, obviously the string is going to be crooked. So you see a crooked string is good. So Rabbi Kivega says, when the Magen Avraham quotes this Rabbi Elia Mizrahi tshuva, so Rabbi Kivega says, look, the Prima Gordon, he proves from here that crooked string is good. But Rabbi Kivega says it has to be a limit because the Gemara says, Pischi Shamoi, if you have poorly constructed Tzuras HaPesach, it's not acceptable. So people are not going to make a house with a Kohen Mikan, Kohen Mikan, and the Kohen Gadol is going to be so crooked. A little bit crooked is okay. Too much crooked is not okay. It doesn't tell you how much. Shimon Ida put out a book on Erevin, and he quotes a name of Baron Cutler, that correct would be if the string is 90 degree angle with the pole. If the pole is straight, 90 degree angle with the ground, and the string should be 90 degree angle with the pole. But if it's going to be a little tilted, it's okay. But if it's the angle should have been 90 degree. If it's going to be leaning so much that it's going to be 45 degrees or less, then it's no good. If it's more than 45 degrees, it is good. That's Rav Shimon Ida claims. Rav Shimon used to learn here, and then he went to Lakewood. So he was, I don't think he was there. Rav Aaron Kotler was there. I think he was there after Rav Aaron Kotler passed away, really. But he said that's what they said in the name of Rav Aaron Kotler. So one of their Talmidim in the yeshiva wrote Ron Eisenman. He's now a rabbi in Passaic. He looks like a grand rabbi with a very big beard. So he was a Talmud in the Kotel, so he wrote a Dvar Torah. We were davening Mincha, and we were facing Mizrach that direction, and the windows, the curtains weren't down, so he saw the Erev across the street. The Erev used to just include one side of the street, just to be able to carry from one building to the other. So he saw that the string was crooked. So he decided to do research on it, so he wrote a whole essay in the Beis Yitzchok. So he said that the Rebbe Kivega says crooked is not acceptable. Then he looked in the Truvis Rebellion Mizrachi. Rebellion Mizrachi is talking about the two poles, one is much higher than the other, but the string is straight. Primogodim didn't have a Truvis Rebellion Mizrachi. Primogodim was guessing based on what the line that the Magen Avraham quoted. So he thought one pole is much higher than the other and the string is crooked. It's not the case. The string is straight, but the shorter pole is directly below the string, and the Gemara says Tzuras HaPesach is going to afal pi she'en on the geya, even though the pole on the side is not touching the pole on top. So it happens that the whole mocker from the Prima Gaon's whole raya from the Tshuvas of Rebellion Mizrachi quoted by the Magen Avraham was out of place. It's really a mistake. So he quotes that Achrayim pointed that out of Ari, that the diok of the Prima Gaon is not correct. The pashtus is, it has to be the way people would construct the frame of a door. Like you make a house, you don't, let's say the houses on, when I climb up the hill 184th Street from the A train, when you open the A train to Amsterdam Avenue, you climb up a hill. So there are apartment buildings there. But they don't put up the buildings perpendicular to the ground. It's, all the buildings are going to be leaning, they're going to fall down. You have to put up buildings that it should be according to the pull of gravity. According to the pull of gravity. And the Kanah Gabeim should be perpendicular to the pull of gravity, not perpendicular. The Pashtus is like that. It should be as straight as possible. If it's a little too crooked, then it's going to be Pischa Shamo, it's going to be a problem. See, when you have the Wayu Erev goes till Audubon, till where does it go? Wadsworth, Audubon, I'm not sure. It doesn't go down the hill. The Mount Sinai Erev includes the hill. So the Mount Sinai Erev, they made an Erev on the hill, and the string on top is parallel to the ground. It really shouldn't be parallel to the ground. That's not the way you build a house. You wouldn't have the Kanah Gabeim in a house that would be parallel to the ground. So they tried to make it not parallel. So maybe we'll have that trip. A field trip to see the air, we'll have to see. That's a problem. That the Kanah Mikan should be according to the pull of gravity, Alpi Pashtus, and the Kanah Gabeim should be perpendicular to the pull of gravity. That's an issue. Same thing, Dambi Yud Gimel. Achrenim have a tshuva about this. Many Achrenim on Nekel, those who write about it. What if you have a Tzuras HaPesach and the ground below is crooked? You have a Tzuras HaPesach on a hill. So let's say the poles on either end of the Tzuras HaPesach according to the pull of gravity, and the string on top is perpendicular to the pull of gravity, but the ground below is crooked. So that's not that you wouldn't make a Tzuras HaPesach like that. The ground below has to be right to put a door there. Well, you're going to have a door that's going to be the bottom of the door is going to be crooked. It's not normal. So the Achrenim would make a lot on this, but it's really questionable. If the karka mitachas is mishupas, that's really a question. Yudalid, there's a Gemara in Yuma. The Gemara says, Shari Chatzer, Shari Ayoras, Achai, and Mezuzah. Chasavta Mam Ziz is Beisecha or Bisha or Recha, not only Abayas, Achotzer is also Chayv and Mezuzah. So the Gemara asked, how come in a certain city there was no mezuzah, there was a wall around the whole city, how come there was no mezuzah on the gateway leading into the inside the Chaymas Ha'ir? So the Gemara says that the Kona Al-Gabehem was only put up L'Achzuk Tikra. It was only put up to hold the door, to hold the ceiling. You see, here we have walls that hold the ceiling. And the Kona Al-Gabehem over here is really to hold this contraption. The bar over here is not to hold up the ceiling. But the Gemara says if the bar on top is only there to hold up the structure on top, so it's part of the building, so it doesn't count as a source of Pesach, it's not Chayv and Mezuzah. So the Avnei Nezer quotes a Machlokes Sachreinim, whether that Gemara, the Gemara there, the context, the Gemara is talking about Mezuzah. Then the Gemara in Erev and Yudalef on the base makes an equation between the definition of source of Pesach for Mezuzah and source of Pesach for Shabbos purposes. So the Avnei Nezer quotes it's Machlokes Sachreinim. Some Achreinim say that the Lachzuke Tikra is only a problem for Mezuzah and it doesn't pose a problem for Shabbos, and others disagree. I would have thought it should be the same. Shabbos and Mezuzah are equated in the Gemara. So the Pashta says that the Lachzuke Tikra is not considered a Tzuras HaPesach. I remember when many years ago Rabbi Mendel Kasha made the Erev in Manhattan. So I remember when Dr. Lim became the president of the Yeshiva University, so he used to be the rabbi in the Jewish Center, and his shul was the shul that sponsored the Manhattan Erev. So when he became the president of the Yeshiva, he asked me, if I think the area of Manhattan, he asked me, would I sign on the area of Manhattan? So I said, he said, because they used to have three rabbanim, they used to have a bezin of three, and one of them was the Moel Peretinsky, and they were boycotting the Moel. He was the Talmud Chacham, they were boycotting him. He moved to Flatbush and Chaim Berlin. They were boycotting him, they weren't using him for a Moel, because he's the one who supports the area of Manhattan. That's the worst thing in the world. So they only had a bezin of two. So Rabbi Lehm asked me, would I sign on the air? So I said, if I think it's good. So I don't know if it's good. He says, I should look around and think it's good. So I said, we have enough problems, reasons why the people don't want to send their children to Yeshiva University. We're going to have another reason, that the head of the kollel supports the Manhattan area. He says, by him, that's a matter of principle. So he says, his responsibility. If we lose students because of the fact that I'm signing on in the air, it'll be his fault, not my fault. He wants me to sign on. So I said, okay. So they took me around. The rabbi at that time was Rabbi Bernstein. Took over after Rabbi Lamb left the Jewish Center. Rabbi Bernstein from Ireland came. He was the rabbi there. So they took the two of us for a tour a couple of weeks before Pesach. Every year they would go check the Erev. So Rabbi, let's say you have an Erev. Let's say you have an Erev around an area, and it's a perfect Rishus HaYochid, but there's a bridge, like over here. The Erev goes, let's say, the edge of Manhattan, but the George Washington Bridge begins a few blocks before the end of Manhattan. So you can be carrying in the middle of Manhattan Beheter, but then you can walk across the bridge without crossing any Mechitza. You walk into an area where there is no Erev. So that's called Nifratz L'makom Ha'osala. Let's say you'll have a tunnel. Above the ground you have an Erev, but then there's a tunnel that starts in the middle of the Erev. You'll be carrying, and then you'll walk in the tunnel, and you can, by mistake, you can carry out of the Erev without crossing any Mechitza. So they made a Nisa the Rabbanim. Whenever you have Rishu Sayachid with Mechitzas, but it's Nifratz L'makom Ha'osala, you're not allowed to carry. So you have in New York, you have bridges and tunnels all over the place that take you out of the air. So how can you carry? So Rabbi Mendel Kasher wrote that the bridges were constructed in such a way that every bridge has a Tzuras HaPesach. So I remember when we were driving over some bridge, so I asked, why did they construct a bridge like this? So the guy said, based on physics, if they wouldn't have the bar on top, the whole bridge on the bottom would fall apart. So that's like Lachzuke Tikra. It's not Lachzuke Tikra, it's Lachzuke the floor. If you don't have the thing on top, the floor is going to collapse. Based on the rules of physics, I don't know which rules, that's not called the Tzuras HaPesach. Whenever it's part of a structure, see here, it's a separate thing. But whenever the bar on top, the Kohen Al Gabeim, or the Kohen Mikam, if it's part of a building, then it doesn't count as the Tzuras HaPesach. So that's the issue of Lachzuke Tikra. That the Pashta says that the din carries over from Mezuzah to Hilchah Shabbos, and it's no good by Shabbos either. Achuri HaKaisel is an issue. A few Achrayim say that this is not good. You have a Shiv Sayachid like this, you have an area, and you're missing the Tikkun on the Ruch of this. But I'll tell you how to carry, but the first Mishnah says, you have to make a Tikkun on the Ruch of this. The Latzion make it Surah Sapesel. You have Ekonomi Khan, Ekonomi Khan, and Ekonomi HaGabim that goes like this. Is that acceptable? So the Hazanish calls that Achuri HaKaisel. He says that that's no good, because when you make the frame of the door, so the frame of the door is the Ma'at and the Ovi HaPesach. The opening used to be so wide, and now that they have the frame of the door, it's 2 inches less on the right, 2 inches less on the left. So, but he says, if you have, you don't, it's not normal to make a frame of a door, to put the frame over there. You put the frame in the location where the door, where the opening of the door is. You don't have it over here. Kanabikam, has to be over here. Either over here, or at least over here in the front, but you don't have it on the side. In the book Orchas Rabbeinu, they have a few volumes someone wrote up on Hagas of the Stipula. He learned by the Stipula for 40 years, so he has a picture like this. You have Tzoras HaPesach, another two like this. Can you carry in the middle part? So the Chazanish said no, because Kanukan is nowhere near the Rishu Sayyafi. It has to be over here. Kan has to be. So that's called Achure HaKosim. This is sometimes one who's not familiar with the literature will make a mistake. They'll think Achure HaKosim means a different thing. Let's say we used to go to a bungalow colony. Why are you a bungalow colony? Rabbi Parnas and Rabbi Yagid, Rabbi Chalap, and a whole bunch. So there used to be a swimming pool over here. So they had a fence around the swimming pool that children shouldn't fall in. And then when they made the air around the whole bungalow colony like this, so before I came, so they had the pole for the Tzoras HaPesach. It used to be inside the area. This was the swimming pool, so it used to be inside the area. So that's Akana Terch Rishu Sayachat. That's not called Achuri HaKaisel. Achuri HaKaisel means like this. But the Akana is nowhere near. Here's the Rishu Sayachat. Here it is near. Here, the Rishu Sayachat. Here's the whole bungalow colony here. And the corner is going to be like this. It's going to be the corner of the whole thing. But it's Terch Rishu Sayachat. Terch Rishu Sayachat is another question. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Tikkun Erevin we mentioned a few times. The Nesibis wrote a sefer on Hilchos Pesach that's called Mekor Chaim. Fantastic sefer. And at the end of the sefer, he has a page and a half that's called Tikkun Erevin, how to make an Erev. He just gives a psak. One din, another din, another din. He has about 100 dinim. Each din is 3/4 of a line. Then the next din, and he doesn't really give too much of an explanation. So one of the dinim that he writes is that a konat terch mishu sayachid is not acceptable. And he writes two different reasons. There he does write. He writes two different reasons. The two reasons are totally different. So one reason is that there's no heker. That there's a lack of heker. So the question is, do you need heker? You need heker by the opening Mishnah in Erevin says, if you have a mavui, well, which only has 3 walls, so you have need a tikkun on the roch of vias mid the rabbanon. So you can either put a lechi or a korah. So a korah means a beam that goes across, let's say here, the 3 walls, and then there's a building on either side. So you have a beam that goes across. So if the beam is lamayla meser mamala shalta be'ena, so you have no heker, so it's no good. The whole purpose of the beam is that people should see the beam. No, atkan you can carry, and mikan be'elach you can't carry. But if the beam and the korah is going to be above the mayla meser mamala shalta be'ena, it's no good. Just like by sukkah lo shalta be'ena. People are not going to see. Just like Ner Chanukah l'mana mesmam, but people are not going to see. So the Gemara discusses a little bit. By Kori you need Heker. If you have a real Mechitza, do you really need Heker? So Tzuris HaPesach, we assume is probably Adin Deraisa. We mentioned Mishnah Berurah quotes in Aleph. The Mishnah Berurah quotes the Prima Gadim, who is mistapik to say that maybe Tzuras HaPesach for Hilchos Shabbos purposes maybe only works Midei Rabbanan. Even if it's Midei Rabbanan, but it's a Mechitza Midei Rabbanan. It's not a Heker. Do you really need? If the Kohen Al Gabbeim is Lamaila Mesen Mama, so it's no good. It's very questionable. So the Nesibis and the Tikkun Erevin gives 2 reasons why a Kohen Terech Rishus HaYachid is no good. Why you can't put it? So one reason is that there's a lack of hekar. So it's a chiddush that you need hekar. So there's a fellow from Eretz Yisrael put out, many years ago, put out a book in Hebrew, How to Make an Erev. I forgot his name already. I think he was from Bnei Akiva, the Bnei Akiva movement, maybe learned in Karim B'Yavna or something. So he quotes, I think, Reb Tzvi Pesach Frank has a tshuva. If you're concerned about hekar, so if the kana that's inside the Rishus HaYachid is 10 tefachim taller than the walls of the Rishus HaYachid, then you will have a hekar, because you're going to see it. If the kana is lower, and it doesn't protrude 10 tefachim above the fence of the Rishus HaYachid, then you're going to have a lack of hekar. But if it's protrude, the kana is tall enough, if it protrudes 10 tefachim above, that'll solve that problem. So there are two tshuvas in the Avnei Nezer about this topic. So in the first tshuva he writes like that. If the corner protrudes 10 tefachim above, that'll solve the problem. But in the second tshuva that Avnei Nezer has, he explains what the other reason of the Tikkun Erev is. Tikkun Erev writes another reason, because basic command the Malya Damya. That's an expression that appears in the Gemara in Erev in a totally different context. So so the Avnei Nezer says in the first shuvah, he says we don't pass like that. We don't. That's one opinion, and we don't really pass like that. There's the opinion of Rabbi Akiva, the klut to kmishun chadamia. If you ever learn Pasach Shabbos, let's say a person picks up something in the street in Rishus HaRabim and he throws it through a Rishus HaYochid, then it lands in a karmelis. But if it's flying in the air through a Rishus HaYochid, or let's say a person picks up something in the Rishus HaYochid, he throws it flying in the air over Rishus HaRabim, and then it lands in a different Rishus HaYochid. So if they carry from one Rishus HaYochid to the other Rishus HaYochid, it's only Takana Shlaim HaMelech that you need in Eruv HaTzeres. But Benatar, it's really Mutah. The guy's not going to be Chayiv Misa. But the question is, he picked it up in a Rishus HaYochid, it was flying in the air in the Rishus HaRabim. Rabbi Akiva's opinion is a Kluta. We don't pass like Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva's opinion is Kluta Kemishun Chadam. Since it's flying in the air of the Rishus HaRabim, it's considered as if it landed, as if you did a Hanocha on the ground. And Rebbe's opinion is, we don't pass like Rebbe either. Rebbe holds half of what Rabbi Akiva said. We only say Kluta Kemishun Chadam in a Rishus HaYochid Mekura. If it's flying through a Rishus HaYochid, it has a Tikra. If it flies through the Rishus HaRabim, you don't say Kluta. And if you have a Rishus HaYochid that doesn't have a Tikra, you don't say Kluta. So here's the wording of Rebbe is basic keman nemal yadam. If you have a bais that has a tikra, it's keman nemal yadam, because they always put in furniture, you put things inside the house. So even though you threw a ball or you threw something that's flying in the air, it's considered as if it would be munach on top of a table that would be in Rishus HaYochid, whatever that means. We don't pass like a Rebbe Kiva or like Rebbe. So the Nesivus writes in the Tikkun Erev that if you put a kana to Rishus HaYochid, it's no good for two reasons. One reason is that it lacks hekar, so the Talmud says you need hekar. The other reason is basic command the Malyadam. We don't pass in basic command the Malyadam. So in the earlier tshuva, the Avnei Nezer knocks off the whole thing, and he says, no, if you have the kana that protrudes 10 tefachim above the wall of the swimming pool, so there's hekar and shayin. You don't worry about basic command the Malyadam. Then in the second tshuva, each tshuva has a date. The second tshuva was written later. He writes, he finally came to understand what the Nesivus was talking about, basic command the Mal Yadam. He says he must have meant a different thing, Siluk Mechitza. He gave different siurim about Siluk Mechitza. So he says he thinks that's what he means, basic command the Mal Yadam. That if you have an area that's completely enclosed, the swimming pool is completely enclosed with walls around it, so that's Mesulak Mikan. That's a Rishon Siyaka. So that's out of the picture, right? This area where the bungalows were in a circle, and then the empty space in the middle, other houses in the middle, so you need a heter tiltal over here. But since this had complete mechitza, so it's mesulach on the whole picture. So if you're going to have the corner turf Rishus HaYochid, it doesn't count. It's like it's on a different continent, like on a different globe. It's not on the earth. It doesn't count. If you all like that reason, that it's an issue of silat mechitza, it's a whole mesulat mikan, then it's not going to help that the pole is 10 tefachim taller. So this fellow in Eretz Yisrael wrote this book about how to make an Erev, and one easy lesson, he followed the first tshuva of the Avnei Nezer, but the second tshuva is stronger than the first tshuva. He writes, he finally came to understand what the second reason in the Tikkun Erev was. So that's not called Achuri HaKoysel. Achuri HaKoysel was like the diagrams, and this is called Kana Toch Rishus HaYochid. Toch Rishus HaYochid, Sama Mekel, and many Amachma, that Toch Rishus HaYochid is not acceptable. The Shaida is, if he says Tfilik Mechitza, Toch Rishus HaYochid is not acceptable. So what if the Kana Mikam, the Kana Mikam are not in a Rishus HaYochid, but the Kana Agabeim goes through Rishus HaYochid? Let's say the wire goes over. Sometimes you have an Erev, and the wire goes over somebody's front lawn, and the front lawn, he has fences around it, it's a complete Rishus HaYochid. Or sometimes the wire goes on top of a garage. The garage is not so tall, and the wire is higher. It goes over, literally goes over a building. The Kana goes over a building. So that was a big question. So there's a Chuvas Chavatzelis HaSharan, by one of the Galitzianer Gedolim, his name was Babat. He was a great nephew of the Minchas Chinuch. He quotes a lot from his great uncle. So he writes that his father was always, her father was also a Rav. Father was always Machmer and everything, but it was always Mekal Anis. That the Kana, he can't put the Kana in the Rishu Seyach, but the string may go over Rishu Seyach. I don't know why. I was very young, I was in high school. I don't remember the whole circumstance. I remember carrying on a conversation with Rav Mendel Zaks. I don't know why that happened. Rav Mendel Zaks was the son-in-law of Chavetz Chaim. He was the boichein in the yeshiva. So I remember him telling me that the minig all over in Europe was l'hokel, that if the string goes over a Rishus HaYochid, it doesn't pose a problem. But Pashtus says that it should be a problem. Pashtus, but I wrote an essay, number 88, in the Maamar Mekaymis, is my essay, and I thought that if you hold from the reason of Silik Mechitza, the second tshuva of the Avnei Nezer, then not only should it pose a problem if the pole is Toch Rishus HaYochid, so even if the wire goes over Rishus HaYochid, it should also be a problem.
Why is that different though than the wall that goes under Kana Abraham? We couldn't say good asik to disrupt the source of Pesach.
If you have a wall going where?
A random wall happens to be underneath the Tzuris of Pesach. Not that it's made of Puri, so it's literally, but not that, you know, that's out of the Eruv. Both sides are in the Eruv. But there happens to be a brick wall that runs underneath one of the Tzuris of Pesach.
So what should be the problem?
So why don't we say that that goes up and disrupts the...
A mechitza, Zoyla al-Rakia, if it's a mechitza, that's makif a whole area. If it's not makif, just to have a wall that doesn't complete a circuit, then it's not called a mechitza. So then it's not oil ad larakia. It doesn't pose a problem. So there is a din that it. I remember the OU always used to have a weekend on visiting day in camps. Always in the summertime. So the parents would always go to the OU weekend, Memorial Day weekend or something. The parents would go to the Memorial Day weekend function that the OU had in the Hamowak Hotel, and then on Sunday, after all the sessions, they would go visit their kids in the camp. So I remember once the OU used to be in charge of the kashrus, and the Hamowak, all of us, the hotel doesn't exist anymore. So once Rabbi Gerak asked me if I'm there already, so I should check the Erev. So look, the Erev was made by Shimon Ida. I checked the Erev, so I saw one of the poles was on top of a big mound of a hill. So I asked, that the way Shimon Ida approved this, when it's made like this? So the Balabas, Pinny Davidman, he says, no. When Shimon Ida approved the Erev, everything was level. But then they made a rifle range. So in order to make a rifle range, they had to dig out a lot of dirt. So they had to throw the dirt somewhere. So rather than pay for someone for the government to take the dirt, so they took all the dirt, and they threw it next to the poles, and now the pole is in the middle of a big hill, big of a mountain, and that hill has the dimensions to make it into Rishus HaYochid. That's a tail. If you have a tail in the middle of Rishus HaYochid, let's say you have in the middle of the street, you have a big, like here they have big rocks that people sit on. So if the rocks would be 10 tefachim tall, then it'd be on top, it is dalal al dalal, but none of them. 10 tefachim tall is about a little below my waist. So if the rock would be 10 tefachim tall, if this would be 10 tefachim tall, then it would be solid. Here there's a wall in the front. There is no wall. In the front there is no wall. It's empty. There is. And it's within love. Okay, but in the back there's no wall. part of it does have a goal. Okay. So if you have such a thing in a Rishus HaRabim, it would be, the topic would be, this is a tale Rishus HaRabim, be a Rishus HaYochid. It has dalar adalat tvachim. You don't need dalar adalat ames. And if it has walls on all four sides, 10 tvachim tall, it's dinik Rishus HaYochid. So the Gemara has a din. What if you have a tale hamislake? You have a mountain, and it reaches the, but the edge of the mountain is crooked, it's not straight. So does that count as a mechitza, if the edges are crooked? So the Gemara says, if it reaches the elevation of 10 tvachim within a distance of dalar ames, then we treat it as if it would be a straight mechitza. That's called tel hamislakeit. So, Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank was a dayan in Eretz Yisrael for the Rabbanut under Rav Kook. So he writes in his Chuvas in the Har Tzvi that Rav Kook held that that's called a kona toch rishus hayochid. If you have a kona, the pole, kona mikan, kona mikan, toch rishus hayochid, it's no good. That's the Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Tikkun Erevin. And this is called toch rishus hayochid. If you have a hill, and it has the dimensions of a tel hamislak, and it's no good. Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank writes that he didn't agree with Rav Kook's chumra. He thought that the only thing that makes sense from the Tikkun Erevin that a kona toch rishus hayochid is no good, because there's a lack of heker. But here it is heker. Here the pole extends 10 tvachim above the top of the hill. So what are you worried about over here? If you have kona toch rishus hayochid inside the enclosed swimming pool, so there's a fence around it, and the pole doesn't protrude 10 tvachim above, then you're lacking heker. But here you have a hill. It used to be clear, but then they threw all the dirt next to it, they threw all the sand next to the hill, so now you have a hill. But the kona still protrudes 10 tvachim above the hill, so you have heker. But Rav Kook thought that it's still a problem. Apparently he thought that it's not only an issue of heker, and maybe he didn't hold from the heker problem, it's an issue of toch rishus hayochid, like silik mechitza. Should be a problem of silik mechitza. So when I brought that to their attention, so they fixed it within 5 minutes. That was a simple problem. They rerouted the Arab. Instead of using that pole that Shim and Ira approved melechatchila, so they used a different pole. They rerouted the whole Arab. That wasn't a problem. Then was another thing. They had, by the Hamurak, they used to have, the hotel was on one side of the road and the lake was on the other side of the road. And I don't remember all the details. It was a long, long time ago, at least 20 years ago. And so yes, Shimon Ider approved this. So Balabas says, yes, that's where it was when Shimon Ider made it. So I said, don't tell anybody, but we're going to reroute it. I didn't want to be Laz and Shimon Ider. But I didn't like the way it was made. A different issue, we'll get to that. A different issue, why it was questionable. One of the Achrayim wrote a chiddush that goes as follows. If you have a building and the roof protrudes a little bit over here, a lot of times the roof protrudes a little bit, and you put the pole for the Erev is nailed onto the front of the wooden building, and the pole for the Erev is under the Blitas HaGag. The Gag protrudes a little bit. So one of the Achranim writes that just like Toch Rishus HaYochid is no good, this is also no good. Why is it no good? Because it's also Toch Rishus HaYochid. How is it Toch Rishus HaYochid? Because we say the Gemara has a klal, I think we spoke about it a little bit. Pitik HaYorev V'Soysem. So there was a rabbi in Muncie by the name of Rabbi Weinstein, and he Rabbi Ron Weinstein, and he wrote very nice tshuvas, Lev Avram. He himself was a big kanoi, but he wrote very normal tshuvas, and even when he writes about Medinas Yisrael, he wasn't so keen about Zionism. He writes very pretty level-headed over there. So he writes a tshuva about this. He said, this whole thing is a mistake. This whole chumrah was a mistake. One achron misunderstood what an early achron said. There is no such din. The only time you say pitik yerevisayim is we said if you have like the bus stop. So you have two walls that are 10 tochim tall and they come within 3 tochim to the ground at a right angle to each other. Then you have the tikra on top. So if you have arivan means right angle to each other. Then you say pitik yerevisayim and the third wall and then the fourth wall and under the roof of the bus stop. They have the bus stop to protect the people who are waiting for the bus from the rain, from the snow. But if you don't have two walls like this, you only have one wall of the building, And then you have the roof protrudes. So then you don't say Pitikei Yerushalayim three times on the three edges. Furthermore, you only say Pitikei Yerushalayim if it's a Tikra. Tikra has to be four tfachim. Tikra has to be Agabi Mokim, and a Mokim has to be Dalat Tfachim. So very often the protrusion of the roof is going to be less than four tfachim. But sometimes you do have. Sometimes the building, the front of the building is not straight. Sometimes you have in fancy hotels, they have the front of the building is over here, then it goes in a little bit, so Yitaka will have, you will have sometimes two walls at a right angle to each other. Then you have a tikra on top. Sometimes a tikra will be dalal al dalal tvachim. The area below it will be dalal al dalal tvachim, so it will have a din of Rishu Sayachim. But this whole chumra, you can't put the corner terch Rishu Sayachid and the blita sagag, the overhang of the roof on the building, over there is makes it into Rishus Hayachid below it, and you put the Karnatach Rishus Hayachid, most of the time that will not be the case. Sometimes it will. And even if it is, that's where Avraham Weinstein raises the question, maybe the whole din of Pitikei Yerushalayim, that it makes it into Rishus Hayachid, it's Halacha Moshe Mizrahim. Maybe the Halacha Moshe Mizrahim is only formulated Lahakel, that you're allowed to carry. Maybe it's never formulated Lahachmir, to say that you can't put a Karnatach Rishus Hayachid. Because Tosis writes like that a little bit, that Lovud is only Namar Lahakal, not Lahachman. So it's a question whether we really hold like that, but there is such a room to say such an argument. Years ago, there used to be a Torah journal. There used to be two Torah journals. There used to be Hapardes and Hamor. So Hamor, he used to send out to everybody. He passed away already. I think his son runs it then. So he used to send it out to all the Rabbanim, and then whether you asked for it or not, nobody asked for it. And then at the end of the year, he would send you a bill. And if you didn't pay, he would come in and send you another bill. And he would insist he wants you to pay. So they say that he came to Abyanka Kamenetsk, and he said, you didn't pay for your subscription. I never asked for it. So he said, so give me back all the hamoras that you got in the mail. So he says, I threw them in the garbage. So he said, how can I throw in the garbage? I didn't even look in it. I don't know what it says. So he blackmailed him. He said he's going to attack him in the next Hamor if he doesn't pay for his subscription. So he says, attack me. So he attacked him in the next Hamor. So he writes about the Torah V'das, had a camp, Or Shraga. He still had a camp, Or Shraga, I think. So Rabbi Kamenetsky used to go to the camp in the summertime. So he writes, there's a rabbi in camp Or Shraga, Rabbi Yudkov. He's not going to be Mevaza who he is, but how many people are the Yudkov? Yankee Kamenetsky. And he approves of the Erev there. So everybody knows it's no good because the Erev, the pole of the Erev, is under a blita sagag. So Rabbi Yan Kamenetsky left. The whole thing was a joke. Yeah. Then we discussed the issue. This Yutes we discussed already. The Chasam Sofer had a problem in Pressburg. The Goyim were pulling down the poles all the time. He said, start the pole starting at 10 feet above the ground level. No one can reach so high. And let it go 10 tvachim above. So the Chazanish said that that's no good. It has to be within 3 tvachim to the ground. That's how all the Achronim say. Then the Chazanish think that even if it's within 3 tvachim to the ground, he thinks that it's pischi shamo. It's not the way people would construct the frame of a door. He says you can't use lavud to construct the tzuras ha-pesach. It has to be the way people would make the normal frame of a door. So that's an issue. We spoke about that. Number chaf, in every hotel, in every bungalow colony, you always have like this. You have a tzuras ha-pesach connected to another tzuras ha-pesach, another tzuras ha-pesach, keep on going. So the question is, if tzuras ha-pesach has to be kida abdi inshi, the way normal people would make a frame of a door, who makes a frame of a door next to a frame of a door next to a frame of a door? You have a building, you have a frame of a door. So the truth of the matter, we do it. Hey, look at the front of the building. You have a whole bunch of, look at the first door. 1, 2, 3, you have 10 doors in a row. We do have 10 frames of the door. It's an old kasha, Mishkan kasha, but one of the Achrayim writes like that, that the Beis Yankiv, the Tshuva's Beis Yankiv, usually they don't accept anything that he said. So he says, if you have a Tzuras HaPesach connected to another Tzuras HaPesach, it's no good, has to be connected on both sides to a building. So the later Achranim say that it's not correct. As long as each Tzuras HaPesach, Kana Mikana, Kana Mikana, Kana Gabem, is Kedav the Inchi, Even though the whole thing is abnormal, who makes frames of a door without any buildings? You make a frame of a door to be able to get into the building, but you have no buildings, you just have frames of doors. So we say each Tzuras HaPesach is Kedab D'Inchi, so it doesn't bother me the fact that it's all Tzuras HaPesach. So that's what we make, the Tuv Tamadas is make. Then there's a din when you have a Mavui, you have three walls and a Mavui, then you have to have a tikkun on the Ruach Revi'is Min D'Rabbanan. So if you put a lechi means a pole that's 10 tefachim tall, next to either one side or the other side. If it's a chatzit, then you need two lechis, one on each end, one on each side of the Ruach Revi'is. If it's a mavui, where two chatzeres open up into a mavui, so it's enough with one lechi. So the Gemara said before, is the lechi on the side, either one side or the other side, has to be within three tefachim to the wall. If it's meruchak, three tefachim away, it's not acceptable. So when people usually make an Erev, so they usually call the non-Jews who make the Erev from Broadway maintenance, so they call it Alechi. The Balabatim call it Alechi, but it's not really a din of Alechi. The Gemara calls it Kana Mikan, Kana Mikan, Kana Gabim. So the question is, have all the din of Alechi, that just like Alechi has to be within three Tzvachim? So some Achrayim say like that. Some Achrayim say they have a Rai from a Tosfos, that it has to have all the requirements of a lechi, and just like the lechi has to be gimel tefachim to the wall, so too the kanim mikan, kanim mikan, each one has to be gimel tefachim to a wall. Other achrayim disagree. They say no, you don't need both kanim mikan should be gimel tefachim as long as one of them is gimel tefachim, but you don't need that both sides should be. And the Chazanish says the whole thing is wrong, and he quotes a beferish gemara. There is a Gemara in everything. Second paragraph in everything. So the Gemara has there's a river over here, a narrow river. You can jump over the river. And then you have an Erev over here, but there's nothing on the Ruach Revi'is. So you need a tikkun on the Ruach Revi'is. So Tosfos says, Pshat in the Gemara, if you put a Tzuras HaPesach on the other side of the river, Kana Mikam, Kana Mikam, Kana Gabayim, and it's within Eser Amos to here. If you have a Pirtzi, yes, in the Eser. So it ruins the whole Erev. But if it's Omid Ruvah Parutz, let's say this is 20 Amos long, and this is only missing 9 Amos, this is 20 Amos missing 9 Amos, so then this is Mitzdarev, so this can serve as a tikkun on the Ruach Revi'is. So this is 9 Amos away from the wall over here. It's not within 3 Tefachim. So the Chazanish says, it's all wrong, the whole Chumra that he came up with, that either one side or the other should be within 3 Tefachim. He says the whole thing is against the Gemara, the way Tosfos reads it, and that Tosfos is quoted in Shulchan Aruch. So he says the Kanim don't have to be Tochim of Tvachim to the walls. Chabeis is an interesting shayla, comes up halacha l'maaseh. For the purpose of Chiyuv Mezuzah, you want to Chiyuv Mezuzah if you have a Tzuras HaPesach, Kanim, Mikam, Kanim, Mikam, Kanim, Gabayim. And how far apart does it have to be, and how high does it have to be? So it has to be at least 4 tefachim wide, empty space, and it has to be at least 10 tefachim tall. I'm fat, I wouldn't be able to squeeze in, but a little child can walk into such a doorway that has 4 tefachim wide. 4 tefachim is the Shir Pesach, and 10 tefachim tall. So the shaila is, what if you have it for Pesach for Shabbos purposes? They have it on, I think, in, where they have it? On the boardwalk in, was Rabbi Waxlax?
Long Beach.
I think there's a boardwalk there. Mm-hmm. So I think I seem to remember vaguely, on the boardwalk there, they have poles every, it's more than 3 tefachim apart. If you have poles every 2.5 tefachim less, I say love it, love it, love it, love it, love it, so the whole thing is a mechitza. The poles are not within 3 tefachim to each other, more than 3 tefachim, but it's less than 4 tefachim. And then have a pole on top of all of these poles. So does that count as a Tzuras HaPesach? It's 10 tefachim tall, but it doesn't have 4 tefachim empty space in between. So it's neither here nor there. So it's not lavud, and it's not a Tzuras HaPesach, because it can't go through. So some Achrayim say that it's no good. Rav Moshe has a tshuvah. He doesn't talk about this explicitly. The Pashtus and one of the tshuvahs, he seems to be assuming that it's no good. And then the Chabina Rav has a tshuva in David Mesharim, where he quotes some Achrayim, early Achrayim, Maril, the generation of Maril. So some early Achrayim were Mekel. They said if you would have had, the more poles you have, so the more sasam it is. So if you would have had only one pole here and one pole further away, it would have been a Tzuras HaPesach. And now you put more poles and you made it more sasum. Now it's not a mechitza. So this is a machlokes. I thought the pashtus is like Ramosha, that it's no good. It's neither here nor there. It's not a lavud, because the poles are not within 3 tefachim. And it's not a Tzuras HaPesach, because to be considered a Tzuras HaPesach, you have to have an empty space of 4 tefachim to be able to walk through, which you don't have.
Rabbi, if there's a tree underneath the Tzuras HaPesach and there's no 4 tefachim to walk through, meaning there's, you don't have an empty space of 4 tefachim you can walk through.
But people can actually walk through. That is a question. That is a question if it's acceptable or not. Yeah. On the one hand, the tree makes it more sasum, but on the other hand,
we should be machmir on that?
I thought so. It comes up every so often. Chav Gimel passes every Erev in the world. Whenever you have an Erev around a camp or a bungalow colony or a hotel or something like that, so they put a Kana Mikan, Kana Mikan many, many Amos away. They don't keep on putting poles all the time. So the Rambam quotes a Yerushalmi. In Bavli it doesn't exist, and the Yerushalmi, we don't have that Giris in the Yerushalmi either. The Rambam quotes a Yerushalmi that it's a Pesach for Yes and the Esaramis is not acceptable. So the Mechaber quotes that Yeshomrim, the Rambam's opinion, Mishnah Berurah recommends that people should be Machmer for that. So the Babacha Machmer on this, because the Alter Rebbe writes he should be Machmer, but he's in the Shulchan Aruch, but he's Mekel, he put a pole every 9 Amos. He put a pole every 9 Amos, each Tzuras HaPesach is less than Esaramis, so then it's good. The Chazanish and the Sfas Emes say, if you want to be Choshish for the Rambam, that Tzuras HaPesach, Yes and Yeser is no good. They say, disagree with the Alter Rebbe. It's not going to help. You're going to make a pole every 9 Amos, because the Sach HaKol, the sum total of the whole distance that you're covering with Tzuras HaPesach, is more than 10 Amos. And Tesis on the first daf in Erevin, on the base, points out, the Bavli had such a havamim, that Tzuras HaPesach, Yes and Yeser is no good. And Bavli, it's rejected. So Tesis points out, Yes and Yeser would be a problem, even if each gap between one pole and the next is less than Eser, but the sum total of the whole thing is going to be Eser and Eser. So that's what it always is. So that's, if you're choshish for that, that kills almost every Erev in the world. I seem to remember Rav Soloveitchik said that in Yerushalayim there's an Erev, and everybody carries, but a Herzog doesn't carry. This was a long time ago, Rav Herzog. Herzog died over 50 years ago. 60 years ago, something like 60 years ago. They said he knows Rav Herzog doesn't carry because the Mishnah Berurah recommends you should be machmer for the pirtzei, for the yes and the yes, Tzuras HaPesach, yes and yes. In Radin, there was an Erev, but the Mishnah Berurah recommends that the B'nai Torah shouldn't carry. In Brisk, there was also an Erev, the Simcha Zevach checked the Erev, but Rav Chaim didn't carry because of the pirtzei, because of the Tzuras HaPesach, yes and the yes. Chavdalit is an issue. People think that you can use anything. Okay, maybe we'll try to cover the rest next week. We got to run downstairs and daven mincha. So we're up to Chavdalit. We got a lot to cover next week.
Okay. We have one more share.